Well, we're turning back to 1 John this morning, and we're going to be looking at the next section as we come into chapter 4 of 1 John.
1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
Well, I'm sure many of us have had the experience of our phone ringing, whether it be our house phone or our mobile phone ringing. And we answer it expectantly, waiting to hear from someone who's looking for us. And the person on the other end of the phone has claimed to be from our bank, or they've claimed to be from BT, or they've claimed to be a computer expert contacting us because there's a problem with our computer. And basically the person on the phone is trying to convince us, trying to manipulate us so that we will give them access to our bank account, or access to our internet, or access to our computer. And as they ring us to begin with, they can sound so genuine. They can state what bank we're from, they can state our address, or they can state our telephone number. Sometimes we may have been taken in by them and unwillingly giving them access to accounts or information, not knowing that person who has phoned us, who has seemed genuine, is actually a scam. Phone scams are becoming more and more of a problem. In 2017, only 3.7% of calls to people were fraudulent. By 2019, 44.6% of calls, not friends and family, to people were fraudulent. It's getting harder and harder to work out the genuine from the scam. The scammers will have all sorts of plans to try and hoodwink us into thinking that they are genuine. They'll change the caller ID so it'll look like it's an 0800 number, or it'll look like it's coming from our bank. They'll have a little bit of our information that they'll try and use to trick us, for us to reveal more. They often sound very convincing. See, when someone phones us with a message, someone phones us to communicate to us, we need to be very careful to make sure that person is genuine. We need to test the truth. Well, last week as we made our way through the rest of chapter 3 of 1 John, we saw that we can have assurance as Christians. And we have that assurance from showing and exhibiting the gospel and loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. As we live out the gospel in our actions and in our sincerity. We don't just talk the talk, but we walk the walk. And we finished last week by pointing to our ultimate assurance, the Holy Spirit who indwells every Christian. The Holy Spirit's testimony internally within us is our ultimate source of assurance. And we saw that last time in 1 John 3 and verse 24. It says, whoever keeps the commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. The Holy Spirit who indwells us, who lives within us, is our ultimate assurance. We are in the faith. And now John enters into another section of this epistle. And as we've seen throughout this epistle, he returns again to a topic that he has just dealt with in chapter 2. He is bouncing between talking about loving your brothers and sisters in Christ, as showing that you are genuine in the faith, with exposing those who are not genuine in the faith, those who are false teachers, by how what they are saying and how they are behaving. And John again picks up this topic of the false teachers and false teaching in chapter 4. You see, we've already seen that the internal witness of the Holy Spirit is our ultimate assurance that we are in the faith. But what if people try to use that to manipulate us? What happens when people use the wonderful truth of the indwelling Holy Spirit for their own ends? See, John has taught in chapter 2 that it is the indwelling Holy Spirit who teaches us about the faith. John chapter 2 verse 27 says, "But the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything, and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him." John has taught us our inbuilt ally, the Holy Spirit. He teaches us. But what happens when someone claims teaching from the Holy Spirit? What happens when someone manipulates that truth for their own ends? What happens when someone claims something that is false, but backs it up by saying it's been revealed to them from the Holy Spirit? How do we spot the spiritual fraud? That's what John addresses here in these first 6 verses in chapter 4. And what was the problem in the church that John was writing to all those years ago in John's day is still a problem today. There are many who go about and claim authority from the Holy Spirit. There are many who claim self-revelation. Dreams, visions, words from the Lord, feelings, access to new truth that no one else has. They say, "Thus says the Lord, and he said it to me, you must believe it." And the question is that John raises, do we just accept anyone or anyone's teaching who claims, "Thus says the Lord"? There are many who claim messages from God. There are many who claim to have words from the Lord. There are many who claim visions and dreams and revelations. And the question that John deals with this morning is, well, how do we test them? How do we spot the genuine from the spiritually counterfeit? How do we know what is the Holy Spirit and what is spiritual fraud? John, he writes to these believers and he again wants to remind them to be alert for false teaching, to be on their guard. And he says to them in verse 1 of chapter 4, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world." One of the commentators, Jackman, says this. He says, "We are not called upon to be naive or gullible, fondly believing all who claim to speak for God. A Christian must be discerning. It's not just a wishy-washy, let's accept what anyone tells us is from God. We need to be discerning, for there is false teaching and false teachers in the world. We must test the spirits. We must be on our guard for spiritual fraud. And I just want to pick up on 3 things this morning. Firstly, we're to spot spiritual fraud. We're to spot spiritual fraud. Secondly, we're to test for the truth. We're to test for the truth. And thirdly, we're to overcome the evil one. We're to overcome the evil one. Firstly, we see that we're to spot spiritual fraud. And as I've said already, those who would claim the authority of God for false teaching, would claim it's a revelation of the Spirit, is not new. It's not new for us in the church in 2020, and it was not new at the time that John wrote this letter either. You see, the Bible has shown us the whole way through, right from the dawn of humanity and the fallenness of man, that false teaching and spiritual fraud has always attacked truth. Way back in the Garden of Eden, what happened? Satan, the deceiver, the ultimate source of all that is false, he creeps into the Garden of Eden and he begins to tempt Eve. And what does he do? Well, he questions God's revelation, God's truth that he had given to Eve. And he passes off a revelation of his own. Genesis 3 verse 5. What the serpent says to Eve, "For God knows that when you eat of it, talking about the tree. Your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The devil is claiming a revelation. He knows something that God knows. He is speaking on behalf of God. God knows this, Eve. That God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. And Satan uses that seeming revelation to tempt Eve. We go on through the Old Testament. Think of the prophets of Baal who had led the people astray into false worship of God, of false idols. Remember those 450 prophets of Baal that Elijah faced, and how they had that showdown on Mount Carmel, and the false prophets, they danced all day. They called upon the name of Baal. We think as we go into the time of the prophets and the writings of the prophets, they're often calling out people who were claiming to speak for God, but were in fact false prophets. Jeremiah 23, verse 16, thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. Ezekiel 13, verses 8 to 9. Therefore thus says the Lord God, because you have uttered falsehood and seen lying visions, therefore behold, I am against you, declares the Lord. My hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and who give lying divinations. They shall not be in the council of my people, nor be enrolled in the register of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord God. False prophets, false teaching, teachers claiming false revelations. Think of the temptation of Jesus, Satan continually trying to twist God's word to cause Jesus to sin. Since Satan, the deceiver, has rebelled against God, since this world became fallen under the dominion of him, truth has always been attacked by what is false. There has always been those committing spiritual fraud. John has already warned us in this epistle in chapter 2, verse 18. Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. And John now says in chapter 4, Christian, don't be gullible, don't be naive, do not believe everyone who claims a revelation from the Lord, everyone who comes to you with a message from the Lord, everyone who presents an authority from the Holy Spirit. Don't just automatically believe them. Do not believe every spirit, but test them, because the frauds are always there. One of the commentators, Hannah, says, believers are to critically examine any message they hear in order to determine its truthfulness. Well, how do we spot the counterfeit? How do we test the spirits? Well, the first way to work out a spiritual fraud is to test what they are teaching. You see, spiritual fraud will show itself in wrong doctrine. That's what John tells us in chapter 4 and verse 3. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus Christ, or not confess Jesus, is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. False teaching, false revelation. Spiritual fraudsters will teach things that will attack the person and the work of Christ. They will not confess Christ. You see, John has shown us in this letter that these false teachers that were attacking the church in Ephesus, well, in chapter 1 we saw that they were denying sin. Sin didn't matter to them. They were perfect. We saw that they had denied that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah. We saw that they here are denying that Jesus has come in the flesh. Their doctrines about Jesus and the work of Jesus are clearly wrong. And no matter what spiritual authority or revelation they called upon, God cannot contradict himself. God cannot contradict himself. You see, no matter who it is who claims revelation, no matter how convincing they seem, no matter what miracles they seem to be able to show to back it up, if it goes against what God has revealed in his word, if it contradicts the gospel, it is not of God, because God cannot contradict himself. Paul said the same when he wrote to the Galatians about those who were leading them astray. And he says in Galatians 1 verses 8 and 9, but even if we, talking about himself, the apostle Paul, or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you receive, let him be accursed. Paul says to them clear as day, it doesn't matter if it's me, an apostle. It doesn't matter if it's an angel from heaven, a supernatural event. If someone comes preaching something contrary to the gospel, if someone comes preaching something that attacks the redemptive plan of God, that attacks the person or the work of Jesus Christ, if they propose anything that contradicts God's word, then they are accursed, and you must not believe them. We spot the counterfeit, we spot the spiritual fraud when we spot wrong doctrine. But secondly, we spot spiritual fraud when we spot those who sound like the world. I'm sure you've heard the duck test before, that very famous phrase. If it looks like a duck, if it swims like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, then it probably is a duck. Now John shows us here it's the same with false teaching. False teachers don't sound like God. False teachers don't act and behave and have the lifestyle of God's people. No, they look like something different. They look like, they act, they sound like the world, the system of Satan, the world of darkness. And they propose that world's values and views. John tells us that here in 1 John 4 and verse 5 when he says, they are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. The Message version says, they talk the world's language, and the world eats it up. See, those who are counterfeit, they may claim whatever revelation they want, but they will sound like the world. They will have the world's morality. They will exhibit the world's values, the world's beliefs, and the world will eat it up. We're always in a dangerous place if we look like and we sound and we're lauded by the world. John writes to these believers and he says to us, we need to spot the spiritual fraud. And we spot them by spotting wrong doctrine and those who look and sound like the world. Secondly, we're to see that we are to test for the truth. We're to test for the truth. I'm sure you've heard of the Greek mathematician Archimedes. He invented the Archimedes principle for determining the volume of an object with an irregular shape. And I'm sure maybe if you're studying your GCSE or your A-level maths, you'll be coming across the Archimedes principle. Of course, the story is well known behind the Archimedes principle. There was a Greek king who had received a new crown, and he wanted to make sure that he hadn't been defrauded, that the crown was meant to be pure gold, and the king wanted to make sure that the person who had made the crown hadn't cheated him, that it was genuinely pure gold. So he came to Archimedes to try and work this out. And Archimedes couldn't work out how he could possibly know if this crown was pure without ruining the crown. And one day as he had a bath, and as he realized as he got into the bath, the water level rose. Archimedes jumped out of the bath and said, "Eureka!" And the story goes that he ran through the streets with no clothes on, shouting about his discovery. See, as Archimedes got in the bath, his weight made the bath overflow, and he worked out how to test if the crown was the real deal. He worked out how to test for the truth. And he in the end proved that the crown wasn't pure gold. The king had been defrauded. You see, John wants these early Christians, these believers, to be like Archimedes, to have their Eureka moment, to know how to test the spirits, to see if they are from God, or how the New Living Translation translates it. Do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. John wants to equip these believers so when people come and say, "Thus says the Lord, God has revealed this to me," you need to listen to this, it's from the Holy Spirit. They'll be able to test it to see if it is true. That word that's used there for test was used in the process of testing metals for purity. It was used in the courtroom about testing evidence to see if it was genuine. We are to test, we are to put to proof when people claim to have revelations from God. And that's difficult at times. They seem so sincere, so genuine, so charismatic when they come to us with words from the Lord or dreams or self-revelations. John says to us here, God says to us here, we need to test them to see if they're genuine. And that test is the Word of God. That's how we work out what is pure from what is false. Remember the story of Jesus with the Samaritan woman. And as the Samaritan woman tried to justify her culture, her people group's false worship of God in Samaria, Jesus says to her, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. See, the work of the Holy Spirit and the truth of God's word, they go together. They always complement each other, and they can never contradict each other. And John, as he writes as a leader in the church with apostolic authority, as he writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, a letter that would become part of the Bible, the revealed Word of God, he says to these believers in Ephesus in verse 6, we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The world listens to the false teachers. God's people listen to his word and they test all that they hear by it. As Cruz, one of the commentators, says, a persistent acceptance of the gospel proclaimed by the author and his community mark those who are from God, and a persistent rejection of their gospel marks those who are not from God. See, a Christian is the test for the truth. When people claim to speak for God, when they present self-revelation, we're the test for the truth. Does what they are saying agree with Scripture? Or does it go against what God has revealed in his word? Are they twisting what God has revealed in his word? Are they taking it out of context? Because if it goes against Scripture, we can be sure that it is not from God. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Test for the truth. Thirdly, we need to see overcoming the evil one. We need to spot the spiritual fraud. We need to test for the truth. We need to overcome the evil one. John has warned these Christians again of the reality that they are living in, that there are those who will try and con them and commit spiritual fraud against them. They're to test for the truth. But as John always does, he also wants to encourage them. They're not to despair, they're to be encouraged, because they will have victory. It says in 1 John 4, verse 4, little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Yes, the church has faced false teaching since the day of the Garden of Eden. But with God's word and in God's strength, God's people have always been able to overcome the evil one. Think of down through the years. Think of Moses as God calls him to go to Egypt to set his people free from the Egyptians. And as Moses goes with Aaron as God's spokesman, and he faces off against Pharaoh, and Pharaoh brings in the false teachers in a way, the magicians of Egypt. And everything that God shows in a sign, and all the words that God give through Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh, with the magicians, they manipulate and they counterfeit, and they copy it. And as they use the power of darkness to try and match God's signs through Moses, what do we read? We read that when Pharaoh summoned the wise men and the sorcerers and they and the magicians of Egypt also did the same by their secret arts. But what happens? For each man cast down his staff and they became serpents. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. God's people overcome falsity. God's people overcome false teaching. God's people overcome the powers of darkness that would manipulate and we defraud. They overcome the work of the evil one. You think of Elijah as he stands there alone on the word of God against the 450 prophets of Baal in Mount Carmel. And those prophets might dance all day. They might shout. They might cut themselves and call upon their false god. But Elijah, he prays to the true God of heaven and fire descends on the sacrifice. God's people overcome the work of the evil one. We think of Jesus and his temptation as the devil shows him visions of the kingdoms of the world. As he whispers falsehoods to Jesus, as he twists God's word to try and lead Jesus astray, the Son of God overcomes the evil one with the truth of God's word. We think as the gospel goes forth in the ministry of the Apostle Paul, and as Paul preaches the gospel in Cyprus, as he begins to win a man in authority to Christ. And what happens? Elymas, a false prophet and a magician, opposes Paul. But Paul, in the power of the Spirit, blinds him. God's people overcome the evil one. And as we look back on the history of God's church, it has faced constant attack from false teachers and false teaching. But you know what has happened? The gospel has already always overcome. God's people have learned more about the Bible, have learned more about theology. God's people have become stronger through it. It's driven them to God's word to understand it more. And they know more of the faith, and they know more how to practice it. It's attacked, but God's people will overcome. You see, as John continues to warn them about false teaching, as he warns them, test the spirits, he encourages them. They are from God. He says that there. You are from God. You're born of God. You're one of his children, and you in God's strength with God's word will overcome the evil one. And why will they overcome? For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Our ally is greater. Christ dwells in us. The Holy Spirit indwells us. And through his power we will overcome like Christ. You notice there that the word overcome is in the past tense. Christ has done it. And we share in his victory. And in the power of his Spirit we can overcome as Christ has overcame. What did Jesus say in John 16, verse 33? I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. We have an inbuilt ally. We have one who teaches us the truth. We have one who assures us of our salvation. We have one who gives us the power to live out the gospel. And he has overcome the evil one. And in him, we will overcome the evil one. Take heart, Christian. Test the spirits. Stand on God's word. Don't be a victim of spiritual fraud. But know this and be encouraged. In him, you will overcome the evil one. So let's apply God's word to our hearts today. As we live at times where people come to us with words from the Lord, or people claim more revelation, we're to test it. We're to stand up and be direct and test it. And not be a victim of spiritual fraud. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Father, we know that there are many who would try and lead us astray, many who claim authority from God, but in fact are false. Father, help us. Help us to be discerning in these days. Help us to know your word. Help us to not just accept what people tell us, but to test the spirits, to test those who claim your authority, to see if they are from God. Father, I pray for those who are going led astray by cults or by false teaching. Lord, that you may just cause them to see. Father, they may evaluate what they're being taught along with God's word. And Lord, you will bring them out of false teaching and darkness and into the light of your word and the light of the gospel. Father, I pray for us as a church. Keep us in the truth. Father, help us to overcome the evil one. Help us not to be led astray. And Father, I do pray this morning, if there's anyone tuning into this who doesn't know you, Father, may they see the wonder and the beauty of the Christ who has overcome the evil one, the Jesus who has died on the cross to forgive us of our sin and who has been raised victorious over death and hell. And Lord, may they see through the lies of this world and the lies of the devil, and may you draw them in saving faith to Jesus Christ. So Father, take your word, apply it to our hearts, we pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.